Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
April 14, 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. This is indeed the show you are looking for. How do I know that? Because you're hearing me say what I'm saying. Anyway, Friars Day, Friday night, that's right. So, you can join into the conversation at 319-527-5016. That's 319-527-5016. Or, if you wish, you can send me a message on Skype. I am charles.ocelli on there. So, whether you're on my friend list or not already, you can get on my list easy. I don't keep everybody, but I will let you on automatically. And you can send me a message, and I will call you into the show, charles.ocelli on Skype. But otherwise, 319-527-5016. So, and you can only do that if you're hearing us just after 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the 14th day of April, 2023. Otherwise, you're hearing a replay. Anyway, interesting Get Mad guest earlier, and had a little break in between that show and this show. But, boy, oh boy, it's been an interesting week. And next week, maybe even more diverse and interesting on the network. We shall see. But my co-host B. Pete is with me, and I'm glad to have him along. It is it's been a weird couple of days, B. Pete. I gotta say, I was really stressed out a couple of days ago, and I was trying not to let anybody know that, and I was working on a bunch of things, and some things did not pan out, and some things did. And I don't know, you know, I had help from some friends, and all of a sudden I was able to at least relax and not worry about what was coming up next. So things went well. But I'm not going to get into it just yet because I'm still waiting on a couple of sample hats, but we're going to have the hats running soon again as thank yous for people that donate and help out with the network. So that will be coming out soon. I didn't tell B. Pete this at all, but you know, the idea, the planned trip to Dallas, now we got a couple of wrinkles in it. So I'm going to have to talk to you about that tonight a little bit. But how are you doing?
Oh man, it's been a hectic week. I mean, hectic. Easter was nice and casual, but Monday, well, I've had 5 Mondays this week. Let's put it that way.
So
that is the weekend, and it's Shad Festival weekend. We're going to sit back tomorrow, watch the parade, take a few photos, drink a beer or two, come back and do some yard work.
Parades, photos, beer, and it's only, what, tax day? What is going on there? What is the Shad Festival?
The Shad Festival started back in 1971. It's one of the oldest festivals in North Carolina. It's like the second oldest in the East or something like that. Anyway, it's spawning season, and hickory shad run up Contentia Creek. So in conjunction with that, they decided to start a festival. They have a fishing contest. They have the Miss Grifton Beauty Pageant. They have the, what do they call it? Anyway, they have the Miss Shad Festival or something, which is guys in drag, as a fundraiser. So parade, fireworks. We've got a band tonight and another band tomorrow night live down on Main Street. So they just throw the barricades up and block off downtown, and everybody goes out there and has a party. Pretty neat event.
Nice. Well, you know, even when I lived in North Carolina, I had not heard of it. So, you know, it's one of those things, I guess. I like festivals. We have the cherry blossom thing that happens here. You know, cause there's a lot of cherry blossom trees.
Well, the problem is here, everybody wanted to come up with their own festival. So the Shad Festival started, and then the next town over, they have their little, I think, watermelon festivals in Winterville. Greenville has Pirate Fest tomorrow, which is their kickoff to the summer, sports for the college. And so it really gets hard to schedule events anymore with all things going on, because everybody's got a festival. Mount Olive has the Pickle Festival. Wilmington has the Azalea Festival. I mean, they're all over. I mean, you name it. They have the collar. Oh, Aiden, the Collared Festival. Now that's a good one. That one started not long after the Shad Festival. So another weekend partying event.
Well, I noticed that, you know, in the South, right, a lot of festivals are based on the things that have become indigenous to the area one way or another. It's either right. about it could be about a certain game. It could be about a certain tree. It could be about a particular plant. It could be, it's really interesting. That's usually what the festivals are about in the South. You go up north and it's all like, you know, it's all identity fests, right? It's like ethnic identity. You have, the different, you know, like the Puerto Rican Day Parade or whatever, the San Gennaro festivals, this kind of stuff in the north. And that's, you know, for the Italians, you got that. That's the way it is. It's about, you know, people's identity up north. Down here is usually about the stuff that's around you. Like I mentioned, the cherry blossoms here. Yeah, go ahead.
Or whatever agricultural product built the area.
That's,
you know,
another
one. Potato festival, watermelon festival, the collard festival, you know. So, yeah, you get, you know, the thing about it is down south, we can find any reason to throw a party. We'll have a parade of sweet potato, you know.
Who's got the soybean festival in North Carolina? Because there's a lot of soybeans that used to be grown there.
I don't know. Let's look it up.
Okay.
Let's put Google to work.
Why not? I'm almost willing to bet there has to be a soybean festival because there are many, many fields. As I worked in certain areas in North Carolina, I would see, and I'm like, what in the hell kind of field is this? Because it didn't, you know, pop to me as something when I was working. And they're all like, well, that's just soybeans. Those are all over the place. I'm like, really? And then I started to take notice that there was a lot of soybeans being grown in North Carolina that I saw for myself.
Apparently, Martin, Tennessee is home of the big, I guess, Mac Daddy Tennessee Soybean Festival. Hmm. Let's see what's in North Carolina. It's got to be one in North Carolina.
Plus, throughout the South, there are various barbecue-type events, too.
Kinston has their big barbecue festival. Lexington, where I used to live, has a huge, it's been around for a while, they have a huge barbecue. But it's a different type of barbecue up there than down here.
Right.
So there's always that east-west battle going on. You know, that's another thing about Southerners. They'll find anything to fight over.
Well, yeah, because there's a big difference between, like, Texas barbecue and I forget, what is it, like the Louisiana style, and then there's the really sweet stuff, and I don't know where that actually comes from. Is that from Memphis, or does North Carolina claim it? Who claims that really sweet barbecue? Yeah.
A lot of the sweet sauces came out of the Midwest around St. Louis.
St. Louis, yeah, Kansas City, probably, right?
All up and down that area, and then you had the towns that were located along the Mississippi River. Mm. And then North Carolina, though, we do whole hog barbecue here in the East. We cook the whole hog, and we cut it, we chop it, and we serve it with a vinegar-based sauce. In the West, they do what's called a shoulder. And they smoke them, and then they make a sauce separate for dipping. That ain't barbecue. If you got to dip it, it ain't barbecue. It's got to be when you cook it. That's the big battle that goes on. But, I mean, people, in fact, when I got married, our reception was a pig picking.
Well,
a friend of ours donated a hog, and we got a bunch of kegs from the restaurant I worked at, a bunch of champagne and wine, and we just put the keg on the pontoon boat. We partied all weekend.
There you have it. I mean, I used to go to lots of different parties up north where it was really the bikers used to do it, and it wasn't really barbecue, but it was a pig roast, right? So, you know, somebody would get a whole pig, and it would be pretty large, and that sucker would, you know, eventually it would come out, and it wasn't in sauce or anything. It was just cooked. That was it. You know what I mean? And so,
the sauce, you sauce it while it's cooking. And then when you take, was it chopped up?
No, they would take the whole thing out. And it was pretty wild. Eventually, at some point, always somebody would wind up taking the head, sticking it on a stick somewhere. It was just, every time, it was like, how many pigs was the question, right? Most of them, you could do the party with one. And then there'd be just kegs here and there, you know, laid out. And it would just be like, take over a certain area of forest or park or whatever. And that was that. Pig roast.
Some people, they call them house when they do a whole hog. You know, and in Texas, when they talk about a barbecue, they're doing a side of beef, you know. So barbecue, it's like chili. You know, don't get in an argument over chili because there's 95,000 ways to make it. But, you know, there's two, one with beans, one without. And then you argue about it for the rest of your – or one with meat. Is it meat? Yeah, one with meat, one without meat. True chili does not have meat.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that because – yeah. Chili
doesn't come from
I see. I always thought
– carne.
Yeah, I always thought chili was the best with meat. You know what I mean? That would be my – but that would just be my preference. I wouldn't argue about it. I would just say, okay, you like to meet, I don't, or I like to meet, you don't, whatever, you know?
Yeah. Chili.
I mean,
beans are nice. Yeah. If I want more beans, just fix red beans and rice.
Yeah, right. But why not just do that? You know, if you want more beans, yeah. Exactly. I've even had a pretty good venison chili before where, you know, which it sounds strange because venison's always got this taste to it. That, and I've eaten it, you know, in various parts of the country, so it's not just a regional thing, but venison's always got a particular flavor that's usually a little off-putting to me. But
it's gamey.
Yeah, it's gamey.
And a lot of that comes, it depends on how they shot the deer. If the deer's sitting there, you know, taking a sip of water, like in the movie, My Cousin Vinny, when she describes, you know, you're a little deer, you put your little lips to the brook, and you start drinking, and bam, some idiot blows your head off.
Yeah.
Here, running with dogs, and if you run a deer before you shoot it, it's got all that adrenaline and everything running through its body, and that's where a lot of the gaminess comes from.
Yeah.
But there's ways, I've seen like 30 different ways to get the gaminess out. You soak it in this, or you freeze it, and then you thaw it, and all kinds of crap. But yeah, it's an acquired taste. You either like it or you don't.
Yeah, I mean, and most of the time I don't, but I've also seen people take it and turn it into jerky or even like a Slim Jim type of thing before, and then you don't even taste it by then. By the time it gets done with all that, where they, you know, smoke it and you know, cure it and everything else, I mean, you don't even taste the gaminess anymore. And also in the chili, it gets covered up pretty good. But also had a chili one time where all I could taste was the gamey part of it. It was like, and I'm not like a big fan of hot stuff. You know, like we always have hot sauce in the house. I'm not the one using it. You know, but the like, I don't know what you got to do to kill the gaminess to put it in chili sometimes, because I mean, I've had it totally overwhelm everything, and it's like, well, yeah, it's a gamey meat plus some chili like substance, maybe. You know what I mean?
If you cut it up like beef stew meat, if you cut it in chunks about that size and you boil it for a little while and then pour that off and then add the meat to your chili and let it continue to cook, it's not as gamey in the chili.
Fair enough.
Like you pre-cook it and then you add it. But, you know, if you use – see, I like a lot of onions and things like that. So I'll cut up peppers, onions, and mix those in, and that kind of overrides the – I'll tell you one thing, though. Don't ever use port wine to cook venison in.
Oh.
You talk about gas. That was the most gag nasty thing I ever tasted in my life.
Okay.
It did not work. I can tell you, do not use port wine.
Mental note, no port wine with the venison. Okay, gotcha. So we do have one caller on the line, and again, the lines are open. So 319-527-5016. You want to take the caller, or you want to talk about some? I mean, we wound up talking about venison and pigs and pig roasts and festivals so far. So we haven't touched the news. We haven't touched anything big yet at all. I don't know what there is really to get to. I mean, there's plenty of things we could get to news-wise, but what the hell? Let's just, you know, do this loose. And by the way, I want to go back to that old format that I had in mind, but maybe with an augment, and we're going to talk about that, you and me, off air, I think. Oh, before I get to the caller, just real fast, because the caller will be interested in this as well. JFK, okay, we were talking about going to Dallas. We're going to Dallas, right? You and me, we're going to take a road trip. We've already decided this. We know what weekend it is, but we don't know the facility yet. Now, I say we could probably book, you know, some place to stay in a facility nearby, and it'll be okay. But a couple new wrinkles have come up. You want to know what they are? Because I didn't talk to you about this off air at all.
Yeah, what are the wrinkles?
Okay, so you want the good news or the bad news? First.
Either way.
Either way.
I'm game.
right, I'll give you the bad news first. The bad news is that the WECT conference is going to, now there, remember I talked to you about there might be a conflict there because it's the 10 years again? Well, yeah, there is. And it is a serious conflict as it is proposed now. The thing is, they've only sent out messages to people asking for abstracts for presenters so far. So that means they're doing the preparation. And in that message about the abstracts, they told everybody when they're going to hold the conference. And the conference is from the 15th to the 17th of November.
All right, hold on.
Yeah.
Let me grab a piece of paper.
Sure.
So I can write some dates down.
Sure. And then I promise.
I'm going to start looking.
Yeah, you want to look at the calendar and you want to figure things. I got you. Go ahead and do that. And I will get to the caller shortly, but I need to lay this on BP and let everybody know what's going on, especially if you guys are thinking of coming down to Dallas and hanging out with us, which I encourage everybody to do. Please do. Please come down. If not, like, you know, I doubt it'll be like 100 people will show up with us, but if like, you know, 10 or 12 of us are together, we form an interesting little group, and I promise I'm bringing merchandise with me. So, you know, generally whenever I meet new friends, I always want to give them a piece of merchandise. I'm going to have stuff for sale there to try and help us fund the trip as well. But, you know, but I'm also probably going to give some stuff away. And gonna want to hang out with people on the off hours of the conference, because we're not just going to hover in the conference area. But we are going to go to the Lancer conference, and we have a couple of other plans in mind that have been discussed on the show, a few things. But anyway, you got your pen and paper and your calendar ready now?
Yeah, one second. I'm putting a website for the Grifton Shad Festival history.
Okay, no problem.
They've got a classic picture on this page where – remember the old cantilever bridges years ago where you had that huge counterweight up top and it would come down and the bridge section would lift so the boats could go through?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We had a bridge like somebody climbed to the top of it and wrote "Eat Mo Shad" across the concrete in big black letters with spray paint and drew a bony skeleton of a fish. And it became the official motto.
Nice.
Until the bridge was taken down.
Nice. Well,
but it's a lot of history, you know, what we used to see driving around down here in the country.
Does it survive as like a t-shirt today or something?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's the bony fish is the motto now. So when you get your hoodies and your t-shirts and your beer huggers,
nice.
And your visors.
Nice.
You know.
Hey, that's always cool.
Yeah. All right. So you were saying the WECT conference was from the 15th to the what?
15th to the 17th. Now look at the days of the week that is.
that's weekend? No.
No, it's not. Now look, Lancer generally holds the conference as close to the date of the assassination as they can over a weekend. WECT is choosing to hold this during the week, okay, in Pittsburgh, and it's, you know, 3 days just like any of these other conferences, pretty much 3 days. And like I said, Lancer usually does Friday, Saturday, Sunday. WECT is, I think, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, if I remember correctly now, from when I looked at it. Because 15th to the 17th is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's the problem. Lancer is 17, 18, 19. So.
Wait, what? 17, 18, not 24 through the 25th?
Nope.
Yeah. 17th. Through the 19th.
Right. So here's the thing.
That's 6 days.
Well, that's 6 straight days, but here's the problem. One of them is it's not 6 straight days because it's literally the 15th to the 19th. It's 5 straight days. But the problem now becomes, unless you are flying from one place to the other, and even if you were, if Friday is the last day of the WECT conference, unless they end very, very early, you cannot physically be in two places at once. So, and you and I will not be able to do this. If we wanted to say, oh, well, let's just go to both, we can't, because can't move it. That's it. I mean, you can't get from Pittsburgh to Texas without taking a plane. And even if you could, some of these things are going to happen simultaneously the way I see it. So
there's a drive.
Yeah, and then there's the drive. Okay.
Well, say you could deadhead overnight. Let's see.
But even Pittsburgh. But the point is that it'll start Friday morning or Friday afternoon in Dallas. You can't make it there if you're still in, you know, you're still in conference at WEC on Friday. See?
Well, it's $155 round trip from Pittsburgh to Dallas flight wise. Let's see.
Yeah,
but, miles is it?
Well, but we're talking crazy time. There's no, you can't be in both. You cannot.
It's only an 18-hour drive.
I understand, but we can't. You can't, no matter what. Even if we had transporter technology, you can't be at both. Okay. It's just not possible because the conference is still going on in Pittsburgh when the conference starts in Dallas.
Why the hell is he doing Pittsburgh?
Well, he always.
What is it about Pittsburgh?
Because Duquesne, it's the WEC conference. It's Cyril WEC. So it's at Duquesne University where the Cyril WEC School of Law and Medicine is. That's where they've held it from the 40th, the 50th, and now the 60th. Every 10 years, they've done this now. As a way of saying, look, here's the real academic conference every decade. So that's what they did, but they used to stagger it away from the other in-person conferences. This time,
Was Lance? Did they have Lancer? They had Lancer last year, didn't they?
Not in person.
Okay. When is the last time they had it in person?
I'm thinking 2019.
Maybe WEC said, hell, you know, Lancer's not got enough going on. I'm just not going to worry about competing with them and do it when I want.
Yeah,
you know,
probably.
I mean, the conferences has kind of died over the years. Of course, a lot of people that went to them have died over the years.
Well, but there you go. So WEC is going to attract certain people, and there's going to be decisions made. You can't do both conferences. I mean, unless you're going to do WEC's conference on Friday morning, run to the airport, fly to Dallas, and then do Lancer in the afternoon. Somebody might be able to pull that off, but...
Are you doing a presentation for WEC?
No, I am not. I was not invited to. I just happened to be in on the email chain where the abstracts were sent. You know, please, I was not selected. Somebody else I know was selected, but he was invited. I was invited to do a presentation at Lancer, so I'm planning on doing that. Now,
is there anything going on that next weekend after the 22nd?
Not that I know of.
That you know.
See? Okay. I mean, and there it is. So here's my decision. Just I'm telling you now, this is where I stand on it. And it's unfortunate because it's going to eliminate some people that I thought would show up in Dallas now. And here's the thing. I saw Doug Campbell, basically state, I'm going to go to Pittsburgh. It's closer for me. And yeah. Rob Clark being in Virginia, I'm going to assume, and I bet I'll be totally correct, that Rob is also going to go to Pittsburgh. So that means JFK focused podcasters will be there. Plus, I think Osanek will probably go. So, frankly, all those guys will probably be in Pittsburgh. Now, whether Osanek will go down to Lancer as well, I don't know. But I'm thinking that Rob Clark and Doug Campbell will likely just go to Pittsburgh, and that'll be that. Swanson has indicated that he wants to go to Pittsburgh. Now, Swanson also has indicated that he might try to do both. Now, I don't know how he's going to do that driving, but I would not recommend it because, you know, at a certain point, man, look, not to be a jerk to anybody, but if you're over the age of 30 and you're doing long, long drives, you got to be very careful about that. And the reason is that it's just not good on the body to be in the car, you know, the kind of runs that we used to do as kids, right? Road trips, where you're in a car for 24, 36, 38 hours straight. And you're just traveling the whole time, or you're in a bus, you're in a truck, whatever. I did it plenty as a musician. Today, I would not be able to do those things, and I certainly would not feel good. Because right now, all I know for certain is that you and I are making the trip, so kind of disqualifies me from being able to safely drive us. And that leaves it on you, and that's way the hell too much traveling, even if we did have a day in between the two conferences. So,
yeah.
To my mind,
well,
flying,
we can't, you're looking at, let's see, 100, you're looking at about 150, probably about $300 to fly from here to Pittsburgh to Dallas and back to here.
Yeah, well, but, see.
If I'm operating correctly.
Yeah, if everything is
the thing.
Right.
All of them, the airline.
Well, there's that. Plus, honestly, see, I still do not have a resolution on my identification, so I'm not able to take a plane. So that's that. I'm not taking a plane. Okay, I have tried to resolve this many different ways, but as things stand now, if I had to take a plane right now, I can't. I don't have the ID to get on. So. That's that. I can't do it. So I'm thinking in my mind, you and me are going to Dallas. you know, the WEC thing. Yeah. What's that?
I got nothing. I ain't lost nothing in Pittsburgh.
Well, there's nothing to do in Pittsburgh outside of the conference. That's the other thing.
Right? Oh, well, you could catch a Steelers game if they're playing at home.
Okay. But, I mean, really, you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking that we could walk to Dealey Plaza and, you know, the guys will harass us, you know, and try and get tips from us. But other than that, we could walk into Dealey Plaza for nothing. We could check out other historical sites for nothing. We could take a bus tour for next to nothing. You know what I mean? There's other stuff to do there. I don't know what the sixth floor museum cost is, but quite frankly, I've never actually taken the full tour, of the sixth floor. I certainly would like to check into what's going on with this whole, renovation project that they're proposing, which I really wish they would not do. You know, and then there's the conference. So to me, there's a more diverse grouping of things to do than to just sit in the lecture hall, in Dallas. One. Two. We won't have the added benefit of being able to possibly invade somebody else's conference if we choose to go to Pittsburgh, say. Okay? There's that. And, all right. So I'm thinking, that we gotta resolve that you and I are gonna go to Dallas still and stick with the original plan. What do you think?
Oh, definitely Dallas. I mean, no, I don't need it even thinking about Pittsburgh.
Right. Okay. Now, I think Mike will probably figure out that he will have to fly at some point, and I don't know if he wants to do that, and I think that Swanson would probably join us, even if he joined us on Saturday. That would be great. I'd be more than happy to hang out with Mike just for Saturday, Sunday. No problem. You know? And anybody else that comes down, I think, you know, if we get there, I'm thinking it might be smart if we could figure it out to get there even the night before if we get there on Thursday. That's, you know, that's the way I planned it out when I took the Greyhound, you know, from hell. It was a lot better to get there the night before and at least settle in, so that you get up the next morning because the conference starts in the morning. Okay? All right. So that's where we're at with that. Now, that was the bad news to me because that's going to split us up a bit and I don't like it for that reason. I really wish they would move it to a different date. Perhaps they will. You know, because I would have liked it a lot if we got all the podcasters together, you know, in one place. But, you know, some people are like, look, I've been to Dallas already. I've been to, yeah, I get it. Well, I've been to Pittsburgh already. So, you know, and I'm not like interested in certain things that, you know, people are talking about doing in Pittsburgh, some activities. It's just some of the stuff they're talking about to me is just like, we could do that anywhere, and I'd rather go to the site of the incident anyway. And there's nothing wrong with visiting that more than once. So anyhow, there's that.
No,
the other
and
thing,
I'd be gay that because I've never gone the JFK route. When I'm going to Dallas is to see a football game, which so it was actually outside of Dallas, and I've not spent enough time going around. So yeah, I'm game for anything.
Well, that's why I was so excited to go in 2017 because I had been to Dallas before. I had interviewed witnesses, and oddly, because of the way things timed out, I didn't even get to Dealey Plaza because, you know, people changed on me. It was like, look, I'm going to meet you in the morning. Okay, well, I can't meet you this morning. I can meet you this afternoon. Okay, this other, you know what I mean? And this is what happened when I tried to arrange a series of interviews. It was impossible to get everything done before 10 o'clock at night. And then, you know, do you want to wander around the plaza at night? You know, they sort of discouraged that at that time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to make the best of my time while I'm there and do as much as I can.
Right. And in the 90s, I don't think it was as well lit. Well,
we'll feel every minute.
Yeah. So,
I'm just looking right now at prices. You know, everything today is ranging from anywhere from $75 to $164 a night.
Oh, yeah. Look, I got no problem getting it.
The Ritz-Carlton, $644 a night. You want to book a week there?
No. But the thing is, we can probably get a decent place in Dallas, right? A decent place in Dallas that's in proximity. Probably not the lowest rent place, but not the highest, certainly. And we could probably figure out a way to split that up. Like I was talking about, even if we got one of the suites in one of the nicer places, then that gives us a living room to crash in, plus at least one bedroom. And sometimes there's like, you know, there's also a full kitchen, which would let us, you know, pick up things from a store so we could have our own meals. I mean, obviously, we'll go out to eat at some point, but you don't want to go out to eat for every meal because that's going to kill your budget, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking about. But, we'll just have to we'll put it together as we get closer. But back to it, we're going to have to book hotel rooms ahead because I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot more people in town considering it's, again, on the 10th year. Okay, so we're going to have to book ahead, but also keep our necks on a swivel a little bit. Maybe add some other people in. Okay, if you chip in, you want to come along last minute. All right, well, you got to kick to somebody who put this on their credit card. And here, now you got a space on the couch, right? This sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so good news. I contacted Walt Brown, though. And we had talked, you and I talked about getting a hold of some of his books. So that is all worked out. We're going to get a case of those, and we're going to be able to offer those for sale along with the Ocelli.com stuff. So we're getting an author table, just so you know. And I don't even have a book, but I'm not going to have an author table. What I'm going to do is offer some thumb drives with podcasts on them. I'm trying to put together now a special like JFK set for just the conference. So that, you know, there's a set of stuff from the archive, from all the stuff I produced and done, to offer that for sale and a bunch of other items, including the hats I keep talking about. So we'll bring those things and we'll have Walt Brown's books. And with any luck, I'll see if I can talk Mike and maybe Larry into dropping a couple of books in. And, we'll have all the books that we do ads for.
Contact anybody that you know has got subject matter on it. If they want us to push their book, we'll be happy to do it for them.
Well, there you go. I'm thinking, now I don't want to get into competition with, because they have, like, you know, the book room at Lancer where they have, you know, somebody has a whole bunch of different stuff. And it used to be the Last Hurrah guy had a setup there where he was like the bookstore for the weekend. And he moved the Lancer products along with, you know, a bunch of stuff that he just had, you know, old stuff. So I'm not going to get into all that where we're bringing, you know, tons and tons of everybody's stuff, but things that directly relate to the network or the show or stuff you've heard on the show, I think we definitely bring that in. And I do the ads for Walt's books. I do the ads for, Larry's books. I do the ads for Mike's books, obviously. So those, if we have those on the table along with the podcast, along with some hats, some t-shirts, maybe some other items. Yeah.
Make it. Ocelli Effect table, and yeah, anybody that you've had on the show or your regular guys, yeah, we'll be happy to put their word out there.
And I'm willing to bet. And I'm willing to bet that BP will autograph merchandise for you if you like.
Oh, happily, yes.
So, and I'll do that too, and we'll sit there and do that. So, that's just part of the plan, obviously, because I'm thinking we won't sell the whole case of books there. So we may have to, you know, go elsewhere to, get rid of the rest of that, stock. So we'll do that.
Yeah,
so there's the good news.
When you, But if you talk to them again, say, look, you know, we're thinking about a pricing schedule. You tell us what you want for the book and mm-hmm. what's the bottom line you'll take when we start getting rid of them at Judas Conference.
Right. Exactly. And that way we'll go wholesale. Like, I don't care if we don't make a dollar, as long as we make the money, we got to give them back.
As long as you cover the book, then we're good.
Right. I mean, let's just say it's a $20 book and, you know, we're supposed to get $5 out of it. Well, tell you what, it might go to discount and, you know, offer them 2 for $30. What, you know, cause it's not about making the money necessarily, but, I already have a,
Auto-approach conference and ask her to autograph my edition.
If you'll do that, I'm sure.
Could you sign a brown book for me?
I'm sure Walt would give you a book just for that. Especially if you post it online. I mean, you got to post that online, though. If she actually signs it, it would be great. Because if you get her signature, I would post that to Facebook, Twitter. I don't know if you have an Instagram, but I would post all that. Hell, BP, you probably have a YouTube channel. Why don't you put it up on there?
Well, I thought about getting an easel and doing a blow up of the wanted poster I did of her, and put that, you know, kind of on the table with the books, just to catch people's attention.
There you go. Whatever. Hey, look, I have a crate of stuff already. I have a bin, you know, like one of those big totes, and it's full of stuff already. I have a handful of Aaron's books. I have a couple of the leftovers of the Ocelli Effect t-shirts that were not tie-dyed, so they're white. I have white Ocelli Effect t-shirts. Okay. I have some hats that I'm building up, and a few other things, little surprises and stuff, and there's going to be, you know, there's going to be pens in there, BP. Right?
It's got to be. There ain't pens, it ain't Ocelli.
And who knows, maybe there'll be some playing cards in there. I mean, it depends on what I can invest in between now and then, right? But I'm going to invest.
I got a couple. If you run out, I got some.
Well, bring some with you. Look, you can give away some of your pens at the conference, right?
Yeah, I'll have to. I'll autograph the Ocelli pen. There you go.
That's a tough job. You're going to autograph one of the pens?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey. Look, who knows, maybe, you know what you could do is you could come up with like a little printout, just, you know, make a quick trip to the UPS store or whatever, and make a printout of you know, the image I use on the graphic for these shows with you. You could have that.
Yeah.
And just sign those and then give them the pen.
Yeah, I thought I'd have an Ocelli pen if I could get Judith to sign my book and tell her when she's done. You can keep the pen.
Yeah, well, you can do that too. All great ideas. So anyway, all right. So there's the good and the bad news. The Dallas trip's still on, and anybody who wants to come and hang out with us, could be people coming from Michigan, California, and a few other places on the map, and I think it'll be a good time, and we're going to do that between the 17th and the 19th of November this year. For the 60th anniversary, because that's when the Lancer Conference is held. So obviously we're going to go to the Lancer Conference, do the setup on the table and all that. I'll do a presentation. Might be a surprise guest who helps me with my presentation, but we'll see about that. And, as things develop. So I do still have the one caller, and anybody else can join us too. And it doesn't have to be about JFK stuff. It can be about anything, but I thought we'd go over that live and, I'd get to it. 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. So, BP, shall I get to the caller?
Yeah, go ahead and bring him on. That's a good idea.
All right. Yeah, he's been on hold a minute now, quite a few minutes. And my apologies. I'm sorry about that, but, there he is. And, BP, take it away. You got the caller in your hands.
Sounds like Jimmy James.
Yeah, Jimmy, your phone is very noisy today. Yes.
Yes.
You sure? Wait.
Yes.
What about now?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not as bad.
Does this sound better?
It does. It does.
Well,
sound,
yeah,
better.
I turned my air conditioner off. Too bad. 90.
Okay. God, it's 90 degrees in Michigan right now?
Yeah, it's really weird. Was yesterday, too.
Yeah, I thought I saw you say that in the chat room, that it was, like, super hot up there, and I'm going, why? Like, that's really weird, because, you know, if it's 90 in Michigan, it's, like, 110 here. And it wasn't that hot here. It was only, like, 70 or 80, maybe.
It was really...
Oh, I know. Everyone down south said they don't get it. It's cold there. But don't worry. Almost unbelievably, come Monday, they're predicting a snowstorm.
Wow. That's weird, too.
I'm telling you, that global warming is going to kill us all.
Well, something will kill us all. That's the only guarantee we have in life. But anyway, Jimmy James, what's on your mind today, sir? I might turn my air conditioning on.
All right. I monkeyed with some stuff. Does it sound better now?
It sounds pretty good to me, so go ahead.
All right. Oh, well, I was just hearing your Dallas plans and whatnot. Yeah, I made up my mind some time ago after I heard Osanek saying he was going to Philadelphia. I made up my mind to go to Dallas.
Ah, well, Pittsburgh is where he's going. Philadelphia might be an interesting conference.
That's right.
But Pittsburgh is where he's going.
Well, yeah, he can have it. I would have liked to have met Dr. Whack, but oh well. I'm going to be going to Dallas, and quite frankly, I'm going to be trying to catch a military flight.
Oh, okay. Can you still do that once you've... because you're retired, technically, right?
Right.
Huh. See, I know some, like, if you're an I've known officers, people who hold, like, you know, the rank of colonel or better. Sometimes I've seen them get that kind of treatment, especially if there's an event that has something to do with the military. Even though they're retired, I've seen them catch those flights, but I didn't know, like, I don't know what your rank was. I've never asked you. But I didn't ever assume that you were an officer, Jimmy James, because you think for yourself a little more than most of the officers I've known, honestly. So
I can assure you, Chuck, I was never a commissioned officer.
Okay. So I did assume correctly.
No, anyone retired, it's different service. Look, the colonel's going to get some first-class service wherever he's going. Mm-hmm. I catch a ride when I can, you know. They'll probably have me jammed in the back with some junk. I don't care. It's free.
Right. Matt's flights, they used to call him, I think.
Yeah, Matt's Military Air Command.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I wasn't aware that, like, you know, a guy like you could have access to that, but that's pretty cool. Be glad to have you along, and maybe we could figure out a way, you know, chip in on a room or something. I'm saying that, I don't know. We'll all need to sleep here and there, but if we got some couches, we got some beds, and we got a decent enough space, I'm thinking that, you know, whether the hotel management likes it or not, we can kind of split a room, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, see there, once again, I'm going to try to stay either at the Navy Inn, or if I can, I'll straight up try to stay at the barracks.
Okay, cool. Well,
but it depends on what the prices are. Now, last time I really traveled was 20 years ago. Prices were like $5 a day. But yeah. Now if it's like $100 a day, well, forget them. I'll just go to a hotel.
Well, see, that's the thing is, yeah, I mean, if it's going to be like that, you might as well, because, like I said, let's just say theoretically me and B. Pete get a room, a decent-sized room with two beds in it and a couch, right? I mean, that means we could comfortably sleep three. And, you know, maybe some people want to go out at night and some other people want to take a nap. And we could do it that way, too. You know what I mean? I got no objections, by the way. I don't have a sleeping bag right now, but if I had one, I got no objections to hitting the floor if somebody will throw me a pillow. You know what I mean? I don't care. And we could just chip in and ease the burden on whoever puts it on their credit card. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll have to work together down there, I mean, as much as we can. Why not?
Well, and that's the other thing about getting the suite. Yeah, that's the other thing about getting a suite, too, because I'll tell you, Carmine and his wife got a great suite at the end of, like, you know, the end of the hallway on the nice hotel, and the kitchen was, you know, you got to bring food, but other than that, you got a fully functional kitchen. So you got a fridge, you got a stove, you got pots and pans, all that stuff there, pretty much. You know, why not? We could just, you know, make a little trip to one of the markets nearby, and boom, we have sandwiches and stuff, you know, so that we're not going out and spending $50, $80, $100 to go to a restaurant, right?
Yeah. Well, see, now the flaw where my plan falls through is, of course, when I end at the other end, I'm going to have no wheels.
Ah. Well, but that's the other thing, is if we stay central, a lot of stuff you can walk to without too much of an effort. And if you stay at the hotels, they do have shuttles that you can grab. Like, there was a shuttle that went from the hotel I was at, which was very close to the Greyhound station, kind of a funny thing. I didn't know that I was super close to the Greyhound station, like where I was staying, because I had no idea where the hotel was. And I'm trying to get a taxi from the Greyhound to the hotel. Nobody would take me. And the reason is, it was so short of a trip that they, you know, and I'm like, look, I don't know where I'm going. Finally, a homeless dude was like, look, man, I'll take you to the hotel. I know where that is. And I said, okay, cool, let's walk. And he walked me there, and I gave him the, I don't know, $10-$15, because I was just like, dude, thanks, you helped me get to my place, I appreciate it. I'm gonna sit here, smoke a cigarette, here's some money for you, and you know, appreciate it. Right? Because I didn't know where I was going. It was a very short walk, but to go to Dealey Plaza was a bit of a longer walk. And when I wanted to go in the morning, Mike was like, well, look, they got a shuttle here, and they'll shuttle you over there. You got to pay them something. But, I mean, so you don't actually need wheels on the ground there. And if we're close enough to the conference, walk, you know, a block or two to the conference. Not a big deal.
Yeah, and a lot of the speakers I probably ain't going to go to. I'm more interested in going and seeing the sights.
Right. Well, me too, honestly. So, I mean, some speakers I'm going to want to catch, but some maybe not. And like I said, I'll sit at the author table. But, I mean, we can all do our own thing, pretty much, and just get together at certain points. Okay, we'll meet here or there. And there are cell phones, so people can contact that way. And, you know, BP will have his wheels with him. Probably be a rented vehicle. But either way, you know, we'll be able to get around. So I think it'll be all right if we all work together a little bit.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We're going to have plenty of friendlies down in Dallas. Don't worry about it.
You know, the Witch is not bad there over by the over by where they usually hold the conferences. That's not bad. And there was a couple of decent places, you know. But whatever,
it's
I don't care.
It's a shame that guy, well, I guess it's not so much a shame. Well, it is, because I never gone to it. I wanted to see it. Was that Crazy Larry Crayford's Museum of the Bizarre, or whatever the hell, across from the sixth floor?
Oh, you're talking about the Conspiracy Museum.
Yes, yes, yes. Run by the same name, totally different guy as one of the probable participants in the assassination, Larry Crayford. No, belay my last.
Right.
Lawrence Howard.
Well, yeah, there's a couple of guys. There's Larry Howard, right? There's Larry Howard. Then there's two guys named Crayford, or Crawford, depending on how you want to read it. And yeah, there's a couple of guys with like the same name, which is really funny. Like that one guy who wrote the book that claimed that he went and bought Mannlicher Carcanos for the one guy, and all this other stuff. And meanwhile, Roger Stone has a co-author by the same name. I had him on the show a while back. That guy. Interesting guy. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but I remember it was like, which one are we talking about? The guy who wrote the book about buying the guns, or the guy who wrote with Roger Stone?
Yeah, what in the world? There's a situation like that the other day. Like, oh, I was you just spoke to Doug Campbell. He's speaking of, he's reading a document on his podcast, and it struck me. I don't know if it struck him, but he was naming one of the guys was, quote unquote, a young man, 22-ish, by the name of Johnny Martin, was in the list. And I was like, oh, that's nice. So you mean Jack Martin from Minnesota? Turns out he was a self-proclaimed mercenary, if they are indeed the same, which, when once again, yeah, there are 10 guys with that name.
Yeah, there's 10 guys in that with that name in the JFK universe. So which John Martin are we talking about? See? You know, it's, I mean, come on.
Yeah, the only thing that leads me to believe it's that guy is the fact that they said he was really young. You know, like 22. No one's going to mistake crazy suds look like he's younger than us, but he looks twice as old as us. He looked 60s when he was in his 40s.
Right. No, there's a few things like that, though, where you got a guy, it's like, wait a minute, was this guy even born at this time? Because they're telling us that a guy's in his 20s, okay. You know, like when you look at the family there that ends up on the ground there, you know, Bill and Gail Newman, it's like, yeah, you got to realize they're teenagers. So, you know, it's like, okay, but if you had a Bill Newman that was, say, also involved in the case somewhere, which I've never seen a second Bill Newman in the case, but if there was, and you come up with another Bill Newman who's a grandfather at the time, it's clearly not that Bill Newman. But Jack Martin and John Martin, there's probably five or six of them that you can encounter in one place or another. All right? Just like the guy who did the one film on the other side of the bridge, his name is Jack Daniels, right? Or Jack Daniel. It's like very easy to go, wait a minute, is this guy this guy? And a lot of juniors and the third and this and that go on. So you got people that are named after their dads. And it becomes a bit of a problem if you don't clarify exactly who it is you're talking about, right?
It sure does.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're reading documents about a meeting from 60 years ago, it's like, well, that's nice. Which one?
Right. Exactly. See, that's the thing about my name is if you hear my name, you go, yeah, there's only like five of them on the planet. So, you know, it's likely it's either that guy or connected to him. If you see my last name somewhere.
Oh, it's like that. You know, that guy, Dan Bongino, I always thought that's kind of a weird name. And then I just happened to listen to an episode of his once where he explained that. He said, yeah, not real likely you're going to find someone with my name because my name was actually Bongenero, which, you know, was it goodbye or something?
Mm-hmm.
So you tell me, you're Italian.
Oh, no, buongiorno, which is a greeting. It's hello.
Buongiorno.
Yeah, buongiorno. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was his actual last name, but the American guy who's processing these people, instead of, he couldn't spell Bongino or Bongener, whatever it is.
Yeah, misspelling.
So he just wrote Bongino.
Yeah, they misspell a lot of that, especially if they went through Ellis Island. There's a ton of that where, why is it that your name is different here than your family's name in Italy? Well, because the American guy didn't know what he was reading. And they just misplaced stuff. You know, they put apostrophes in and all kinds of weird stuff that didn't belong. So it just happens that way. And, you know, here's another fun fact. Like, you know how many Joe Greens there have been that are writers? It's, like, insane.
Oh,
you know?
Bravo.
So I've had...
Bravo. And then it's, you know, Joe Green with the E at the end or no E? Which Green? Joe?
And the guy who died 30 years ago, or the guy, you know, that's the other thing, right? Because remember, I'm trying to remember the name of that guy. He's a character and a half, man, who wrote with Roger Stone. Like I said, I did have him on the show, and boy, did I get a lot of flack for having him on the show because he was a, you know, big, like, a, you know, Trumpy guy and all that, and he was Roger Stone's co-author.
And he was a JFK guy. What, he co-wrote that crazy book about LBJ?
He co-wrote a bunch of stuff with Roger Stone. I can't think of his name, and it's a real basic name. Do you know who I'm talking about, BP?
I'm sorry, I'm reading something here. What was that?
I'm sorry.
Who is it?
The guy who co-authored books with Roger Stone, who was...
Oh, damn.
He's an odd guy.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Well, I'll find out right now because I'm just going to go look it up. But the thing is, I should know this name. I had the guy on my show and everything years ago. And let's see. Meet the other Roger Stone, blah, blah, blah.
Speaking of Roger Stone, while listening to some old May Brussels shows, he came up. So I downloaded it and saved the sound bite because I found it amusing. She said, by the way, keep your eyes peeled on this so-called Young Americans Club, and especially its founder, this character, Roger Stone. And she goes on and on about him.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating.
Are you
remember
thinking
this
of
1973? Like back in Watergate time.
Yeah. Robert Morrow. That was the name I was looking for. Robert Morrow. But, he was involved in the whole thing with Nixon and everything early on, Roger Stone. I mean, he famously has the tattoo of Richard Nixon on his back, right?
Yeah, but I wonder just how friendly he really, really was to Mr. Nixon.
Who, Stone?
I don't think he did the man any favors.
I think he tried like hell to.
He had his head up Nixon's butt. He had to wiggle his ears for Tricky Dick to fart.
Probably. That's the way I see it. But, you know, again, Roger Stone's one of these guys, though, the political operative, clearly. Somebody who did things to disrupt situations. I mean, he backed people and did work for people almost for free just so he could disrupt things. The guy got pretty mad when he sort of got kicked out of, uninvited from the Washington inner circles is what happened there. So, oh, and Chris Graves messaged me. Yeah.
Pretty quick.
What's that?
I said he got kicked to the curb pretty quick. It's funny how that turnaround just all of a sudden he was persona non grata.
Yeah. And the funny thing is it isn't for any of the political operative stuff or being involved with, you know, let's just call it the fornicating with rodents aspect of things. It wasn't because of that that he got uninvited. What happened is he got busted with that whole, like, you know, situation where he's supposedly like wife swapping and he's in the underground sex magazines and all that, like, you know, swinging. And that's what they used as an excuse to get him the hell out of the inner circles.
What are you talking?
Yeah, Roger.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. That is exactly what got him uninvited out of D.C. I'm serious. If you don't believe me, check it out. That was the whole thing. Yes.
That's almost unbelievable because you can almost see what happened there.
Yeah,
it's almost like Watergate.
But
what's that dude's name with the hooer? Mo what?
Yeah, well.
How ironic.
No, but it's too funny because all of the stuff where he pissed people off and really screwed people over and put out the dirt on everybody else, the second that they got a hold of that and realized that him and his wife were kind of swinging, you know, pretty openly in D.C., that's when he got kicked to the curb. That's exactly how it went. And
or did someone just take pictures of him and make a bunch of fake accounts? I mean, I have no idea. It could easily happen.
No, he copped to the fact that he was like, look, yeah, I did that, so what? It's my business. Which I agree with him. But he copped to it, and he was advertising.
Touché.
No, but he was advertising, like, remember when there used to be those newspaper type publications in cities that had, you know, like, lots of the underground, you know, the nightlife, some of it was legal, some of it wasn't, you know, kind of stuff. Yeah, and the back pages would have, you know, escort services and, you know, dating services, which was really just cover, you know, very, very thin cover for prostitution, stuff like that. Well, they'd also have personal ads, you know, hey, look, you want to come over and like pour ketchup in my eyes and smack me around with a phone book? Here's my number. You know, this kind of stuff. And he's in there, you know, offering up his wife and himself, I guess, in these group sex things. And he was sort of like, yeah, so what? That's my private life. And
I just linked in a room to a Daily Mail article about it. Oh, and apparently it was his insatiable wife that was prompting him to do it.
Well, that's what the story became. But I'm not claiming to know the truth. I'm just saying that that's what came out. And he didn't deny it. So I don't feel bad about reporting that that's what came out. You know, there you go.
To say the least, I'm not here to defend. I'm not going to defend Roger Stone. He's no friend of mine.
Right.
And that performance he gave where he supposedly debated Posner was pathetic.
It was.
Come on, Posner. Debate me.
It was, but don't forget, you know, he was actually part of the Trump organization, the campaign and everything. He was running it at one point, and then he was politely asked to leave there, too. And all of a sudden, it was made public that he was distancing, you know, that Trump was distancing himself from Roger Stone. And he was uninvited, like, okay, he's no longer there. And Stone was like, it's fine, I don't need to run his campaign, he's going to do well. And he was one of the only guys saying it at the time. And like I said, on this show in 2015, I said, come on, Roger, you know, this can't even be serious, this guy running. And he said, yeah, you fail to recognize the level of narcissist you're dealing with. And I went, whoa, okay. he said, even if it was a joke to the rest of the world, he's serious. And I just was kind of dumbfounded by that, honestly. You can hear that if you catch the old show that I did with him. I did the Clinton's War on Women book with him, and we went through that for 2 hours on this show. So, anyway, look, I'm going to go to a break and give us a chance to regroup here. Jimmy James has joined us on the phone, and so can you at 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. The Friday night open mic continues after this.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough.
Maybe you're thinking about getting started.
WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're listening to The Ocelli Effect at Ocelli.com.
History that you were never taught in schools.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia.
By author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961.
Get your copy today at Amazon.com.
Vietnam. Why? The Vietnam War by author Mike Swanson.
Nuclear Holocaust. You know what uranium is, right? This thing called nuclear weapons and other things, like lots of, you know what uranium is, right? Bad things. Things are done with uranium, including some bad things. Nuclear Holocaust. You know what uranium is, right? I've been briefed. Nuclear Holocaust. Nuclear Holocaust. You know what uranium is, right? This thing called nuclear weapons and other things, like lots of, you know what uranium is, right? Bad things. Things are done with uranium, including some bad things. Nuclear Holocaust. Nuclear Holocaust. Nuclear Holocaust. Nuclear Holocaust. Nuclear Holocaust.
TheOcelli.com radio network.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Second segment of the Ocelli Effect here on a Friday night, Friars Day, that is. And my co-host B. Pete is with me. Jimmy James has called in so far. And we've got another caller on the line. But you, too, could join us here at 319-526-5... Whoa. Hang on a second. I almost just fell over. Excuse me. That was weird. Anyway, 319-527-5016, a number I know in my sleep, but I could not finish it because I had almost went over. This chair sucks. This chair I'm in, which, by the way, is now noisy as hell, and I apologize for it. You guys might have heard it. Also, want to let you guys know that on Monday night, there may be a variety of special guests, but the first one is confirmed. So David Knight is going to join me on Friday, on Monday night, excuse me, at an odd time at 7 p.m. Eastern live here on the Ocelli Effect. So, but there are potentially two other guests that could be there, and maybe an extra co-host. We shall see. Working on it, and they would be all three of them are definitely A-list type guests. David Knight's interesting because I've never spoken to him directly before. So that ought to be fascinating. If you don't know who David Knight is, interesting guy. Put it that way. Probably to the right of me a bit, to put it mildly. But, hey, we'll see how that goes on Monday night. And not sure what Chris Graves has planned for next week, but could be an interesting week here on the network. Just saying. And some other announcements will come up during that week as well. So, all right, B. Pete, we got Jimmy James still on the line, and we do have another caller, so I don't know if you want to go to the new caller or what you want to do.
Yeah, go ahead and bring him in. Let's see who we got.
All right, so I need to ask the new caller if he is indeed Vance-tastic.
I'll be Vance-tastic just for tonight.
Okay. If that's hey, listen, if you can just be Vance-tastic for tonight, I'm pleased, especially if we have anything at all to do with it. So welcome. In case somebody doesn't know, Vanerkey himself is with us, and we were just talking a little bit off air about a little bit of gambling, maybe. It wasn't me who was doing it, but
that.
Yeah, B. Pete was doing a little bit. He enjoys some games. I enjoy some games too. I still wish we could do the poker thing. But who knows, that could be a feature when we all go to Dallas, which, by the way, will be not too far from you, right?
And look, I found a site that allows you to set up your own private game and all that stuff, but I can't do it from my cell phone. You know, somebody has to do it from their, I mean, you can do it from your cell phone, I guess, but I'm just saying with my reception issues and all that kind of stuff, I'm not the guy to be in charge of that, but it doesn't cost anything, and you can set up your, you know, tables however you want it, you know, the blinds and all that stuff, and it's all free. And
nice.
I just, like I said, I just don't really have the ability to make it happen, but it seemed like it'd be a pretty good thing. And it's not the same one that we looked at before, Chuck. It's, you know, it was a different one. I'll have to figure it out now, but I posted it a while back. But yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, well, let's get on that, you know, sometime this week and see if we can figure it out, because I would definitely enjoy doing that. That would be something to get away from stuff. Also, during the break, Jimmy James brought up something that I was kind of thinking we might get to, but I don't know what I'm going to have much to say about. But before we go there, Vance, anything on your mind you want to bring up, something that's scratching at you, or you want to just roll with it for a minute?
Well, I mean, that's kind of like I was saying, you know, I'll be Vance-tastic, because that's kind of that phrase or whatever, that's all fun and fine at the bar. You know, I came to the bar tonight because I get such a bad signal and all that, and I got stuck in a pool game, you know, with a girl that, you know, just wants to play, and it took like 30 minutes to finish that game. So I'm really exasperated, you know. It's like, you know, we've been going around in these circles, you know, for so long, and it's just all this left and right and right and left and red and blue, and you know, I'm just ready to move on, you know.
I hear you, man. Well, here's an interesting topic, at least, you know, trying to take a look at what's happening in the world. And it's going to be a bit of a pivot, and it's kind of a, you know, a problematic thing. But as per always, I say reserve your judgment, because what's being reported now is not always the truth, right? What did you tell me? Well, the sky's blue, I think, also, and maybe water's wet. But this thing about these leaked documents, right, which the story started, what, a week ago or a week and a half ago, where there were these reports that there was stuff coming out and nobody knew where it was coming from initially, but it was being shared on social media, and some of it was fairly sensitive, some of it having to do with the conditions in the conflict in Ukraine, et cetera, et cetera, and somebody in the Pentagon, it must be a high-level person, on and on and on. And then a day or two ago, there was an arrest, and today an arraignment, right? So what was the arrest? The arrest was apparently this kid who is not very old. I mean, he's 20 years old. Massachusetts Air National Guard, at least this is the way they're reporting it, was effectively an IT guy. They gave some technical, you know, cyber blah, 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 whatever, designation to his job. But, you know, and by the way, if you're in the military, you have a job, right? You do something. And whether you're a pilot or you're a whatever, it doesn't matter. You end up with a job. So you're also in the military and you have a job. This guy was some kind of IT guy, best I can understand. But, hey, I don't necessarily understand how all these things work or how it is somebody has access to high-level stuff. The claim is that there's, you know, a certain amount of people that have certain levels of clearance. There's overclassification in a lot of cases of a lot of things. We talked about that a little bit last night with Larry, which I haven't gotten that podcast out yet. But what did we talk about last night? His work on the pattern studies with UAPs or UFOs, and exactly what the orientation has been of the national security state regarding that in the past. We've been treated to stuff recently that makes people think differently about it, so on and so forth. But this is a weird thing. This kid apparently was sharing stuff on Discord, which, by the way, spoiler alert, Discord is not a secure place to have communications, in case people think that it is for some reason in the gamer community, etc. Discord is not secure. You got plenty of snooping there. You don't even need infiltrators. They've already got access built in, okay? So, you know, just like I have no expectation of privacy on Skype, you should have no expectation of privacy on Discord. But either way, this guy's sharing stuff about gaming, about guns, about, what was it, God, guns, and gaming, I guess. They went through the 3 G's on him. And, you know, would not be atypical of a 20-year-old. But apparently he started sharing, hey, look, I have access to classified documents, and started sharing it with people who did not have clearance through Discord. This is all I know about what's been reported thus far, but again, not having served in the military and often criticized for talking up my ass about it, I'm not gonna say I know what the hell's going on here, because I don't. I just know what's been reported. So Jimmy James brought it up during the break, so I'll give him the first chance to talk about what it is he sees here or what it is he thinks he sees, because as per usual, I would claim that we do not know the full story here, especially when you have some of these talking heads who did have clearances, do have clearances, etc., coming out and making statements about how somebody might have been pulling things out of burn bags and all this other nonsense. I don't know. I just don't know. So, BP, you mind if we start with Jimmy James on this?
No, not at all. Go right ahead, Jimmy.
Go ahead, Jimmy James. What do you got to say about it?
Well, like you said, we don't know anything other than what they're telling us, so we don't know anything for real. I'm very dubious about this whole... I'm sure this guy has something to do with it, but there's more to it. This is some kind of little criminal conspiracy going on. What I'm really curious about is what exactly... How did he get this... They say that he has an IT job that he does outside of the Air National Guard.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to know is what was the status of his reservistism? Was he doing this job as under temporary active duty? Was he, you know, wearing in uniform while doing this? Where did this information come from? It had to have been from the military. So why is the Attorney General and these fools even farting around in military business?
Well, isn't it possible? Yeah, I just have a question for you. Isn't it possible that somebody who is active military could also have, you know, like say a side gig, right? Where because of their trusted status, they could do sort of contract work? Because I know I've seen that before. Is it possible that this is some blend between those two things?
It could be a dual job that he's working with both organizations.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I'm concerned, I don't care what his so-called status was. He is a member of the armed forces, and he's under the UCMJ, and he needs to be put on trial and face the penalties under the UCMJ for treason or whatever's going on here. And I don't know what exactly is going on here, but the civilian so-called Department of Justice, really, they have no business here. I wish that someone in the military would step up here. Because he's going to get off like all these other clowns, getting 5-year sentences and this junk. No. This guy actually is a service member, and he should be treated accordingly. This is treason. Put him in trial in a military court. That's about all my thoughts on him.
Fair enough. So, Pete, being that I don't believe Vance ever served. Vance, you never served in the military, right?
No, I actually tried to sign up once, but luckily they didn't take me.
Well, I'll tell you, I would have signed up had I been eligible, and there was a rumor at one time that I could have been eligible for certain jobs, but that turned out not to be true. But BP's the only other guy on the call right now who actually did serve, so I'm curious, maybe BP can answer this or whatever, but Jimmy brings up an interesting point. I'm thinking that discipline or justice or whatever is supposed to be in this situation meted out through a military court, and that's different than a civilian procedure. I know that for certain, but I don't know all the ins and outs, and I don't claim to. But, you know, in the military, there are lawyers, too, who handle stuff like this. People know about the JAG Corps and whatnot, but there are other lawyers as well who handle things like this. And it's a different procedure. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't resemble the civilian procedure in some way. Some of them do, some of them don't, to my understanding. But, again, not having been intimately involved with this personally and not really studying it as much as I probably should have, I did study what they did to the one liaison for the ARRB at one point, and she got herself court-martialed for cooperating with the Assassination Records Review Board, effectively. But that's a whole other story. Pete, what about that, though? If this guy's an active service member, isn't it the military courts that are supposed to deal with him? I mean, it's the Air National Guard, so it's not the Marine Corps.
No, I'm adding in, even if he's an inactive, supposedly, member, I don't care. You signed that contract for 8 years. Your ass belongs to Uncle Sam.
Mm. Well, BP.
Until you're fully discharged. If he's going to go through, depends, you know,
first off, they're going to decide which article of the Uniform Code of Military Justice they're going to nail him for, and there's going to be several charges, and it'll be several charges on each and every instance, each document that was shared, conversations that were had. So this guy's looking at a boatload of charges, and the difference between a court-martial and a civil trial is that you have a panel of officers that are your judges, or you may have just one officer that's the judge. Depends on which way they go. And I'm not sure how the Air Force does it. I was in the Army, and, you know, there might be a different procedure. But he'll have the option of having a lawyer. He can get a private lawyer if he wants to pay the cost. And in certain circumstances, they'll be allowed to participate in a court-martial or advise his military lawyer. But it's going to be kind of like Annie.
Well, the DOJ is prosecuting him, not the DOD. That's my point. He should be in a military system, but they're not prosecuting him in the military system.
Which to me indicates there must be some sort of blend of. That's why I brought up that whole thing about how sometimes you could be working a side gig. And could that mean that he should face both? Could he face both, BP?
Yeah, he's going to go through both processes. If the military depending on what happens with the DOJ, the military say, okay, you know, we're going to wait. We're just going to hold off prosecution for a minute. But he can face charges both under the military and especially because he apparently got this stuff from a SCIF connected with his military duty. So civilly, I mean, he's going to fry. You look at what happened to Bradley Manning, and no, I'm not dead naming him. I know he's now Chelsea, but when he did it, he was Bradley.
Yeah.
You know, he got, 35 years, and Obama commuted his sentence after 7, I think.
Something like
that. So he's looking at some good time either way he goes.
Well, see, what about that, Jimmy James? I asked B. Pete's opinion, but what about your opinion on this? Do you think that it's possible they could hold him responsible with the DOJ? Then the DOD has at him afterwards.
No. It's double jeopardy. And as you said, he stole documents from a military, safe place to read documents. What do they call them, a shift?
but if it's documents like the State Department, things like that, it can be prosecuted under the DOJ.
Yeah, but it's...
Not really. He's a military personnel and needs to be prosecuted as such. Forget years. He should be worried about getting a firing squad.
Well, it's an interesting thing here because I'm just asking, right? I don't know the answer, but I'm asking... If you have a situation where, there's certain acts that are taken, you know, under the actions taken, he's acting as a military person. Okay, then the military handles that. If there's other actions that he takes as a civilian, because I know there's been debates about this before, where, these are activities, you're a civilian, these are activities, you're a military person. You know, I don't know how valid that is because, as you said, Jimmy James, to my understanding, you sign up, that's your ass for whatever the length of that contract is. The government owns you. You are military property, right? GI, government issue, okay? So your any issue you have is a government issue because that's what you are. For that time period, right? So, doesn't matter. You're on duty, you're off duty, you're asleep, whatever.
If you think you're signing up for 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, think again. You sign your name, your ass is the government's for 8 years. Even after you leave active duty, if you think, you still have 3 years of, in active duty, even if you choose not to be an active reservist, you're still in the inactive ready reserve, and they could bring you right on back.
Well, see, I wonder if as things develop, right, because I've seen what happens with a military contractor, I've seen what happens with an intelligence community contractor, you know, the Reality Winner case comes right to my mind. But, you know, look, when you have a situation where the investigation is being conducted by the civilian authorities because you're CIA or you're working for the NSA or whatever, they might have had the investigation ahead of the military authorities, right? So they pull him in. I wonder if he could get taken from that and say, no, you know what? He's got to face the military court. I wonder if that's like a development that we're going to see in the future. Is that a possibility?
He only had two charges against him.
Sorry. Go ahead, Jimmy James. What were you saying first? And then we'll let BP answer too.
Well, I just say I think that's where we are going to eventually see.
So eventually they'll take it out of the hands of the DOJ and it'll just go to, you know, like the court-martial type procedure like BP was talking about, which, yeah, I'm not sure how the Air... I don't think I've ever seen a court-martial with the Air Force before. I don't think I've read about one in detail before. Army, I understand, and I think BP gave a good explanation of that. But, yeah, I mean, I wonder if that's going to come up in the future, BP. What do you think?
Yeah, he'll probably face something through the military. He was only hit with two charges when they arraigned him. One was for unauthorized retention, transmission of national defense information, and the other was unauthorized removal and retention of classified documents or materials. And then, so, I mean, there's a lot of other charges they could throw at him that they would eventually throw out. But that's the two charges that allows them to hold him. And now they're basically looking at the documents to see if they're real. And if they are, you know, how did he get them? And yes, the military is going to get involved in this. You're going to hear something from them very soon.
Well, and I've seen it go like that with a couple of murder cases, actually, where civilian authorities make an arrest, they make charges, and then MPs come and collect the guy. You know, even while he's in process and they take him, and, you know, civilian authorities end up with the open charge sitting there and the military deals with it. That's happened before in the case of a couple of murder, investigations. Okay. I know that occurred. And when it happened on foreign soil, there was a situation where the FBI, actually snagged the guy first and then somebody came and got him and he went through the military, justice system next, you know, but they made the initial arrest or they got through on the initial investigation and snagged them first. So I'm just wondering if, you know, this is just a step in the process and really is kind of meaningless because eventually he's going to get dealt with, you know, either by the military or both. So I don't know, but it's something to keep an eye on and very interesting. I'm not even certain about the content of the documents because it was vaguely explained in some of these news stories. And like I said, there were references to this is the current conditions in the Ukraine conflict. He had, you know, some stuff that was not meant to be shared with the public about that, that he shared with people that did not have any sort of clearance and weren't connected and through unsecured communications. Again, Discord, okay?
He had no reason to be looking at. He had no, even if he had so-called clearance, he had no need. So it's irrelevant. He shouldn't even been touching such things. It should have burned his eyes.
That's the question that I got. Is like, what is his motivation? Has he released a, you know, have they found a manifesto or anything? Is he pro-Russian? Is that what he was trying to do with this, you know, releasing this stuff? Was it?
Well, so far, to my understanding, nobody's been able to nail that down. You know, like somebody could find a motivation where there was just payment, you know, which would be the simplest and most direct thing. Or maybe he had sympathies towards certain stuff and he felt like this information should get out there. Nobody's been able to adequately nail that down. Yeah.
I would just assume if, you know, you were, the motivation was payment, you wouldn't be posting it on, you know, Discord or whatever, you know.
Well, unless you're...
They've talked to a couple people that were in the chat group. They started a private invitation chat group a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a regular group of people that were in there. And over time, now this is based on interviews with, I think, two or three people that were in the group. They said that this wasn't a this was not a recent thing. He had been doing it for quite some time. And that he would talk about stuff he sees in his work. You know, he would let them know, hey, you know, the government's doing this. Hey, you know, just so you know. And then he would show these documents, these print offs, and they don't know if they were photos of a computer screen or if they were actual attachments in emails. One of the things that this guy did in his job apparently was, communications and stuff, and there's a website that they use, a net that they use, that they can go into, and it's links to all of these things in their database. You can, you know, you can search it, things like that. It's user friendly depending on your security clearance. So you can only go to certain levels, and there's only certain ways to find certain things on it. But apparently this guy was just showing these things over time to people in this group.
Right.
And, you know, posting them in the room. So it's not like he was, they said he doesn't have a pro-Russia, pro-UK, or Ukraine bent. It's just kind of a like, here's the info, guys. This is what's really going on. Hmm. It wasn't a malicious thing, according to them.
Right. So what it sounds like to me is that they're trying to make it seem like, look, the guy just, probably some discussions happen. He goes, look, I know what's actually happening. And he shows them stuff because he had access to one of these. It's sort of like in the corporate world, you got portals, right? Where there is groups of information that are shared with management. And then there's other levels where you're upper management or whatever about things that are being planned and done and coordinated, et cetera. So you all get to see the same documentation, this kind of thing. I know it's, you know, really a pedestrian and consumer level, but same principle, right? Where it's like, okay, management has a portal where this is the policy, this is what's happening, this is what's going to change very soon, etc. And he's in that somehow through his job, and he kept some of this stuff and then dragged it over into these private groups and said, no, I actually know something that's happening, and here it is. Over time, that's what he was doing. Okay, well, I don't know what to say about that, except it still seems very weird to me. Something is missing from this equation. But the motive, there's got to be another motive outside of, hey, I happen to be in the know. Is it just the self-importance trip, BP'd? I mean, that's, I don't know, that doesn't ring true to me.
Well, but that's the impression they get from the people that were in the group, that this guy wasn't out there. I mean, I'm sure if he wanted to do damage, he would have posted him somewhere other than an invite-only chat room.
But maybe we don't know where else it was posted,
could it,
too.
Could it possibly be subterfuge?
Well, what, to post this here to...
Yeah, to create a narrative, to release stuff, to, you know, give them a reason to do whatever it is that they're going to do. I mean, I'm sorry to sum it up that...
Well, in that case, why not create a VPN and then just start posting on Twitter and call yourself the Real Q or something? You know what I mean?
Send it a week.
Yeah, and if it was something for profit or whatever, then there's the dark web. There's all kinds of ways to, you know, do that without, you know, a Discord chat that's quote unquote private, because nothing's private.
Right.
Nothing's private.
Don't overreact it. This dude's a computer geek. It's probably some dude over in Russia pretending to be his girlfriend, Betty. Oh, please, Godsman, feed me some more information. And he's probably dumb enough to fall for it.
Yeah, I don't discount.
Like Marilyn Monroe. She's the Marilyn Monroe of Russia, I guess.
Look, I don't discount what Jimmy James is saying. It could be just that simple. That, you know, it's just one of these, what do they call them, catfish jobs, you know, where it's actually somebody collecting intelligence going, oh, okay, I've got a guy who's got a couple of things here. Maybe they heard about it through the Discord. They show up and, you know, hello, good-looking man, how are you, you know, in bad English, and they do that for a little bit. Hey, post some stuff. And maybe he got, you know, a little gaslit there, right? I don't know. That's a possibility. What do you think of that one, BP?
I don't know. I can see some guy in a chat room just flipping this stuff out here, trying to impress people, and, you know, nothing more than that. I think his intent was just to put it out there to say, hey, you know, look at me. This is what I do for a living.
Mm.
You know, you want to know what's going on. It's funny, though, some of the stuff that's come out, apparently in some of the documents that were posted, it's like, you know, they admit that the Pentagon admits that there are special forces troops in Ukraine and have been there for a while. Of course, you know, we were told no troops on, no boots on the ground, I think was their expression. So we're going to, it's all going to come out. We're going to find out, I think, that there was really nothing behind it other than just a dumbass being a dumbass.
Well, and then there's also these supposedly private troops that have gone in there that, you know, are made up of all previously employed military guys and CIA guys who went in there voluntarily. He makes the rounds on the talk shows all the time. The black guy used to work for the CIA. Malcolm, why am I having trouble with last names today? Anyway, if you look him up, you'll know who he is, and he's written some books. He does Bill Maher every couple of months, I think. He was the guy who famously yelled at that Milo Yiannopoulos guy on Bill Maher, and it went viral because he was yelling at him about stuff and saying, you know, like, you don't have no idea what you're talking about, and you're just making noise to make noise. You know, I've actually done stuff. Shut up. That was pretty funny to me. But anyway, all right, BP, so where shall we go now? Because we've actually run through a pretty good portion of the show tonight. We've got about, maybe 20 minutes left.
Well, I'm looking here to see if I can find out who you're talking about, Malcolm. I'm not big on news here. I've not watched a lot of TV news.
Yeah, this guy's been around for a couple of years, though. I'll see if I can find him.
Based on what you've heard so far, I mean, what do you think? Do you think there was something nefarious afoot, or do you think the guy just, you know, got caught being a jerk?
I think, but it's going to be more serious than that, and I think he's going to face a whole hell of a lot of consequences that, you know, I think he's not going to be prepared for. I don't know how it's going to look, but it's a 20-year-old guy who just wrecked his life, is the way I see it.
Here's the thing. Recently, we've had the whole mess about Trump and his documents, and then Biden and his documents, and Pence and his documents, and now we've got this guy who's got documents, and it, you know, this guy's getting ready to get nailed to the wall. If he's done for, no matter which way they prosecute him, he's going to get years out of the deal. You look at how other documents have been handled by people, and it just shows you the two-tier system that we have in this country. It's hilarious. I feel for the guy. He did something that was wrong, and yeah, he should pay for it. There's some things you just don't throw out in private chat rooms.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's going to have to do the time. He did the crime.
Yeah, Malcolm.
He's going to go down.
Malcolm,
I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
The guy's no better.
Right. Malcolm Nance was the guy who I was trying to name, by the way. But
I'm not familiar.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. I'm not saying I agree with him, but
no relation.
Yep. Okay. We got Nance, Nance, not Vance. just for the record, nope, no relation to Vanarchy or Vance in any way, shape, or form. Plus, last time I checked, you're not black. Just saying. I could be wrong. You know, you may identify as black, right? Remember Rachel Dazdall or. I could be wrong.
Well, my dad actually did the genetic test, and yeah, you know.
You got some in there.
That exists.
you're not all the way white, is what you're telling me, yeah? Okay, it's cool. I'm good with it. I don't count myself as all the way white either, so it's just the way it is. Appearances might fool you. Anyway, we do have another Skype caller going to join in. So I'm going to grab him and see what we can do there. He might have some interesting things to throw in on this topic as well. But we've only got, you know, another quarter hour or so left. So, you know, but whichever way you want to go, BP, I'm going to try and join the Skype caller in.
Yeah, bring them in. Just to give you a topic we can consider here for the next few minutes if you want, there's a breakthrough malaria vaccine got approved, and they're saying this is definitely going to be a game changer. Malaria kills over 600,000 people each year, most of them kids. Mm. And they're hoping that this will at least allow a lot of places in Africa to, you know, have some hope. I mean, this is something that they fight that we don't think about because we don't really deal with it here.
See, mixed feelings on this because here we go with vaccine again. And is it an actual vaccine? Do you know? See, the principle of a vaccine I don't object to, but when they announce it and they say they've got a breakthrough, I'm shaking my head already. You know, I'm not sure, and I hope all I can say is I hope they got it right, because I'm sure it'll be used heavily, even if it is not safe. But okay,
a vaccine. Here's another idea: you could always kill the mosquitoes.
Yeah, I tend to side with you on that one, Jimmy James. But then again,
they had DT did a good job on mosquitoes, but it got banned.
Well, there's that. So I do believe we have a new Skype caller.
Hello.
Hey. So you got something to say about this situation we were talking about with these classified documents being leaked on Discord by this 20-year-old guy, and we went back and forth about where he should be prosecuted, how it should be handled, et cetera, et cetera. Got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't disagree on the prosecution. I'm kind of curious to see what was actually leaked, but I also wish that everyone was held to the same standards when it comes to corruption and everything in the in the halls of power. And this kid's like, what, 21? So I don't know if, depending on whatever was leaked.
Well, so far, it's only a couple of charges on him, all right? And far as I know, he's not being charged under the Espionage Act, which was a little rough. I mean, I did not agree with the long stay that Reality Winner suffered. I interviewed her mom on here and all that to talk about it. And, of course, she was from Georgia. Interesting access I had to some people who actually knew her. But anyway, that was a whole other situation. She was an NSA contractor at the time. She was not actively serving. This kid's got a couple of charges on him, but it could get a lot worse, especially if the military handles it. So I don't know, but again, I throw my hands up because I'm not sure how this all really pans out.
Yeah, and I don't know, is he being considered a whistleblower? Like, was there some wrongdoing he was trying to expose, or was he just, like BP was saying, just being a dumbass?
It doesn't appear as though he had an agenda, even. It appears like the media is trying to turn it into an agenda, but they're failing mightily because there's not enough to work with. It just seems like BP might be generally right, and also Jimmy James might be generally right. You're talking about a young guy trying to just impress people in a little click online. Yeah. It seems like that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're all wrong.
I know he was busted like about maybe 5-10 minutes from where I am currently. And pretty quiet around these parts. So I
sent you that message, too. Did you see that message? I said, hey, not far from you. Guess what's happening?
Anyone out there listening, look up this weird thing. I mean, this is kind of, it's only related because of the town of Dighton, but Dighton is within the Bridgewater Triangle that I always talk about. And, it has this famous, ancient rock called, that they refer to as the Dighton Rock. And it has all these different carvings in it that they can't quite figure out who it was from. Some people say it was Vikings, like back in the day, Chinese even, Native Americans. So something to look up. I mean, not really related, but just except for the town.
No, fair enough. But there's been some interesting action there over the past few years, and really over time, seems like in that one little part of Massachusetts.
It's right down the way from Fall River, too. Lizzie Borden territory.
Yeah, I mean, there's some interesting stuff that just sort of ends up in that area. But then again, I'm from New Jersey, and there was a magazine called Weird New Jersey for a reason.
They made Weird Massachusetts, the same company. That's right.
Yeah, but Weird New Jersey was the first one, and again, with good reason.
Well, you got the devil down there in Jersey, so there you go.
Yeah,
well,
there is the Jersey Devil. Yeah, which
with the Pine Barrens, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, the Pine Barrens, by the way, loaded with all kinds of lore and mythology.
UFO activity.
UFO yeah. activity, which is funny because, you know, for a couple of years, and I was talking to, did you listen to the show with Larry last night?
Yes, I did.
All right, well, it'll be out in podcast form later tonight, but I brought up a couple of things there. I mean, because New Jersey's also where the Hindenburg crashed, and, you know. There's this one
Jersey
area
where everything's happened, basically. And Massachusetts. I think we could be tied on weirdness and stuff, historical record.
But there's weird New Jersey ties to almost anything controversial in America.
That's true.
That's the funniest thing about it. It's like, no matter what you do, there's, you know, look, I mean, I could go for the low-hanging fruit and tell you, you know, Trump spent a lot of time in New Jersey.
Right, fair enough. You guys win.
So, you know, there's that. But put that aside. When you get into some of the odd things that have gone on, there is all sorts of weird links to stuff in New Jersey. Even the JFK case.
I have an interesting...
Yeah, go ahead.
I have an interesting... Oh, I lied. It's more of a New York City story. Actually, it's a Democrat Party myth story. But, well, let's put it this way. Who do you think founded the Democrat Party? Roundtable.
Oh, there's an interesting question. BP, you like passing around that one? I like it. Let's pass around. Who do you think?
What was it? He cut out on me. What did he ask?
Sorry, he asked, who is it that founded the Democratic Party?
Oh, I don't know.
Hmm. Vance, do you know who founded the Democratic Party? Vance? Okay. Maybe Vance is busy. Chris?
No, I didn't have...
Sorry, go ahead, Vance. Sorry.
I didn't have my mic on. And I don't know... Because I know most of the founders didn't really believe in parties and all that. I have to say no, I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. Chris, do you know?
I'm going to say I think I knew at one time, but I'm not going to cheat and look it up, so I have no idea.
Yeah, you don't have it in your memory bank. I'll tell you what, I got to be honest, I don't know either. I'm thinking back to Adlai Stevenson was the governor of New Jersey, in case you don't know that. Interesting.
No, I did know that, yeah.
You know, Woodrow Wilson was also from Jersey.
I have a feeling Jimmy might be saying maybe Crowley.
I don't know.
Was the founder?
It could be. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
No. The Jimmy James strives to be 100% historically correct.
Okay, excellent. So,
now, as far as I know, now, the Democrat Party, they'll tell you, I don't know, it depends who I suppose you would ask in that godforsaken organization, but here's the reality. General Jackson was the last member of what was the Democratic Republican Party. And what he had done was, as you famously all know and celebrate, is he got rid of the First National Bank, right?
Right.
Right. So then, guess what? His vice president took over, Martin Van Buren of New York City. He was kind of the first New York City boss. Kind of, he was the first crook in New York City boss, yeah. And so he took over at the worst possible time in history that he could have. Because, of course, as Jackson got rid of the National Bank and hence currency, we went into the deepest depression in the history of the country. We were almost destroyed because the only people who then had money were rich people who had gold. So basically, the modern Democratic Party was formed by Martin Van Buren.
Ah, I think I heard VP speak up with that name at a certain point after he said something, and that makes sense. But I always thought there was a difference between the Democratic Republican thing and the Democrats themselves. I don't know why, but maybe Maybe there isn't.
The Democratic National Party was a party unto itself, and President Jackson was the last member of that party.
Ah,
after that, totally different party.
Okay.
And weren't they all into slavery, too, apparently? Even more than Republicans back then?
Well, the Republican Party was founded...
The Republican Party was founded as the Abolition Party in 1855.
Right.
They weren't even around back then.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that later on, yeah, because it's like 30 years later, the Republican Party is founded as an abolitionist, as one of the more prominent of the abolitionist groups. The Republican Party is founded to eliminate slavery, actually.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it wrong.
Yeah. But,
So after Martin Van Buren, I would say, started the Modern Democrat Party, and between there until the real Republican started party, what'd you have, like that Whigs or something? I mean, there really wasn't an alternative.
Well, there were Whigs, Tories, and there was something else that was Republican too, but it wasn't the Republican Party, and they split off and became the Republican Party on that issue, if I remember right. And this is when Lincoln was. Yeah, go ahead.
I think like Jefferson, you know, was kind of the, and Madison or somebody was like they kind of coined the term republicanism or whatever, as opposed to democratic, where they were enshrining that the states had individual rights and weren't to be decided on by, you know, the democratic or whatever principle kind of thing.
But though he might have coined the term.
But they didn't really believe in parties. They didn't really believe in parties. That he did. You know, that it wasn't a party thing. It was based on the principles of the Constitution, which weren't party-based.
Didn't Jefferson say that the downfall of the country would be political parties?
Yeah.
No, General Washington was the only man with anti-political party of that time. His whole departing speech is, look, get rid of these political parties. They're going to destroy this country.
I tend to concur with Jimmy James on that. You know, Jefferson gave rise to the idea of republicanism, but the party was not created until, as he accurately points out, the time when abolition was the point. Because whatever a group they were a part of, and I can't remember the party they were a part of, they split from, didn't want to remove slavery. They did. So,
I just remember Jefferson was attributed with Washington's quote then. Yeah, I remember that quote very well.
Yeah, that's what it is. But because it's in when he was leaving, making his speech to turn it over, I think, to the second, to the succeeding president, I should say, not the second. Not really, because technically speaking, there were presidents before Washington.
That's a whole other thing I want to do a show on, actually. There's like 18 of them, or 14 of them.
I don't know the number, but there's a bunch of them. But either way, the president who succeeded Washington on his way out, literally like Jimmy James describes, he's saying, look, this is not good, what we had running here. And also, there were people at the time that wanted to leave him in office, like, for life.
They wanted to make him king. Yeah. King of America. Yeah.
And, there was a whole bunch of stuff about what should we call the leader of the country. Should we call him, His Majesty, and so on and so forth. And Washington rejected any of that stuff, according to what I've read. Now, I wasn't there, but according to what I've read, he rejected all of that. He thought that this should be something entirely different. And not to take on the mistakes of the many, many other places that they were easily able to observe. Yeah.
Well, Chuck, do you remember about 15 years ago, they had NBC had like a miniseries on that idea of a king of America in like modern day?
I forget
the name of the actor, but it was only on for a short period of time. But it's kind of interesting on that take,
Well, there you have it. So, BP, we have, let's see. We have actually run to our 2-hour time, my friend. What do you think? Should we give everybody a chance to throw out a parting? Which, by the way, great question there, Jimmy James. None of us knew off the top of our heads, immediately anyway. BP got Van Buren later. But interesting question there about who founded the party. That is interesting. It was, so what, around 1820 or something, right? Somewhere in there. Gotta look that up. You know what? I need to brush up on this stuff. And Jimmy James just pointed that
That's
out.
That's pretty accurate.
Okay. Thank you. I'm surprised because I have not read about this stuff in a while, to be honest. So, anyways, so B. Pete, what do you think? Should we give everybody their parting, like, shout out, whatever?
Yeah, yeah. Which order you want to go in?
You know what? Let's just go with the thing that works best. The order they arrived, I think, right?
Sounds good to me.
All right, so that means we start with Jimmy James. Your parting thoughts.
Everyone have a good weekend. Save the trees, save the bees. Save the whales, save the snails. Have a good one.
I got to tell you, out of all of Jimmy James' parting thoughts, I like that one. That is great. So, thank you, Jimmy James. Always happy to have you call in. The plan for Sunday, by the way, there may be another live broadcast that'll occur on the sly on Sunday, but the plan for Sunday is that Aaron will be live at 10 p.m. Eastern. So that's where that goes, and I'm not sure about the guest list on that. Could be that we got that wrestler from Australia, because none of the WWE guys proper have responded to us yet. But anyway, Chris worked his ass off on that. We'll get to him in a minute. BP, next that puts Vance to take a parting shot, right?
Yep, I do believe it does.
So Vance.
I don't know. It's hard to come after Jimmy. So, you know, I think it was a nice show tonight, and I look forward to next week. And that's it.
Excellent. Excellent thought. And we will do this again next week. Always good to hear from Vance. And, you know, I thank you, man, for going to the bar and joining with us, although getting to play pool with the lady there for a half hour, maybe that was more fun than talking to us, but you never can tell. So, B. Pete, I guess that leaves us with Chris, who's on the Skype, and then that'll leave it with you. So, what do you say? We go to Chris next?
Sure. What you got there, Chris?
Well, that was a very obscure George Carlin bit, so I give credit to Jimmy there. And I guess I'll go with a pretty well-known one. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. Anyway, donate at ochelli.com and get some advertising, folks. You know, put an ad up. You know, you could use it. Have a good weekend, everyone.
I appreciate that, Chris. And by the way, there are hats that are being shipped to me so I can see what kind of condition they're in.
Nice.
I'm waiting on
that. I wear your Ochelli one in all of the digging Chris Graves episodes. I just had John Potash point that out earlier today.
Oh, nice. Excellent. John, how's John doing, by the way? Everything going okay with him?
Yeah, he's chugging along. He's writing articles for Covert Action magazine still, and he's got kind of a satire project he's working on that's kind of related to drugs as weapons against us. So excited to see what he's got cooking, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. Look, I love John Potash's work. You know, I don't know how I feel about all the Tupac information. But yeah. but I'll tell you, he makes an excellent case about a lot of that stuff, and I got to have John on my show again soon. By the way, big ups to you know, some of the guests that you've gotten recently. One of them, I recalled the one earlier today on Get Mad was you know, I was like, wow, wait a minute, this guy. I remember buying his book in 1991, just fresh off the shelf. You know?
Yeah, he was pretty big in conspiracy circles back in the 90s. Yeah, Jonathan Vankin. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting guy. Interesting guy. A lot of comic book stuff and a ton of work.
Working with Harvey Pekar and people like that and, you know, Neil Gaiman and Swamp Thing. Well, he didn't work with them, but he wrote it. You know, so it was really cool.
Right. And a whole series of books, which, by the way, here's a funny thought. You know, I had it confused with Donald Jeffrey's book because it's almost the same title. The Crimes, Cover-Ups, and Conspiracies thing.
I noticed that, but I don't have the heart to bring that up to Donald.
Well, see, I brought that up to Don, and you know what Don does when he hears something like that? He just kind of ignores it.
Yeah. Well, there was also a bunch of hidden history type titles for years and years. So
yeah,
you never know.
Yeah, no, and look, and I'm not. This is not me bashing Don at all.
No, he told me the story. That was Skyhorse's idea anyway. He wanted to have it as a Hidden History 2, the prequel,
right?
Crimes and Cover-Ups. Yeah,
yeah, but they chose that, and it's so funny to me because I remember this guy's books. They were published before Don's. So.
1991.
And, all right, we'll just leave it at that. And Don didn't copy that guy or anything. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it was funny to me because it was like, Don, you know, I read somebody else that had books titled that way. And
he didn't even want that title. That's the ironic part.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Anyway, look, a little inside weird baseball there. But anyway, Chris, great stuff, as always. And you're just constantly pumping out stuff with Digging Chris Graves, with the New Prisoners.
Inspiring with Mr. Cooper. I got Don't Take Our Word for It with Peter Seacosh. We just finished a whole bunch of Jack the Ripper stuff. We're uncovering, I'm telling you, Chuck, we're uncovering stuff that I've never known about the John Lennon assassination. And that's going to be a good episode, too. So that's coming up.
Well, there you go. So pop culture and conspiracy and God knows whatever else Chris thinks is interesting.
We might get May Pang in on that too, just to get her opinion on a couple of things.
Oh man, you know what? You bring her on, I will definitely ask her a question.
Yeah, all right. We'll see what happens. I mean, don't hold your breath. Look what Squeaky Fromm, she keeps me on the hook here.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, look, we got a few potential guests out there. And now Monday, I'm going to start my show at 7 p.m., just so you know. But
I didn't schedule anyone, so don't worry about that, buddy.
All right, so that means I could potentially start it earlier, but if I do, I'll announce that on Aaron's show, and I'll put out stuff on social media.
Awesome.
So for right now, my first guest on Monday will be David Knight. But
that's a big get, dude.
But there may be more to that show as the weekend continues. I just, you know, people waiting for people to get back to me. Okay.
Well, so I'll leave it at that. Color me intrigued, my friend.
And if one of them comes through, I know that Chris will be more than happy to be my co-host on there, too, for at least an hour. So, anyway, we shall see. We shall see. But if nothing else, I definitely have David Knight, and that'll be interesting enough because, you know, he's a little more civilized than me. So, We'll see how it goes. Anyway, B. Pete, that leaves us with you for the final word on this show. And, man, it's this was pretty good. We didn't hover in the news too much, but we did touch on some. And Jimmy James gave us a good, you know, trivia question. And we started it all with pig roasts and hog fest.
Well, we started it with Shad.
I'm sorry. That's right. But then we talked about roasting pigs.
Yeah, well, you know, when you start cooking stuff outside, you go from one thing to the next. But yeah, it was a good show. Looking forward to next week. And everybody, you know, join us back then. Come in, join, call in, become a participant. We need to increase our crowd.
Please do. And again, we're going to have a bunch of announcements coming up. We're definitely doing the Dallas trip, as we said. Don't know what's going to happen outside of that. And anybody who's even listening to this show, you're definitely invited to come and see us in Dallas when we go. As for who's going back to the rooms and whatever, I mean, we'll have to play that by ear. But no other promises there except that, you know, you could come and hang out with us while we're in Dallas. And at the very least, I know me and BP are definitely going. And some others have said they will join, including Jimmy James. Yeah, go ahead.
One question, we're going to be able to do the show that Friday night, won't we?
I have already set up the mobile version of what I'll need to do it. As long as we can find a good internet connection, we will be able to broadcast live from Dallas.
All right, cool.
So that's that. And potentially we might be broadcasting video. So we could anyway. We could, but maybe we'll just stick with the audio. I don't know yet. Still in the works.
I don't know about the video. We can just post mugshots afterwards. We can put them in the room next week.
See, I have no problem with just putting the camera out to, like, if we get it in front of a big window and just put the camera out the window, just what's going on the street in Dallas while we talk.
Yeah.
Right? Depending on our view. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so I mean, we could do that, or we could, you know, maybe do an impromptu thing when we go to Dealey Plaza, if we could broadcast directly, or at least take, well, definitely going to take some video, make a, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, we could definitely put the camera up and get around a table in the suite and get us a poker game going.
That too. So we're going to do all that, but until then, and until Sunday when we go live here again on the network, and all that, I want you to remember that no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. And I want to thank everybody who helped to keep us rolling this week, because you did a big thing. And tell you the truth, there was one particular person that did a huge thing. He knows who he is. I thank him very much, and I'll leave it at that. Have a good night.